there's a book written by a minister of the United Methodist Church that is the largest of the Methodist congregations in the States. There's about 80 million Methodists, and the United Methodist Church is about maybe 18 million in that neighborhood. So they have lots of congregations. And he did a survey of over 700 congregations. And again, what the intent was to identify which ones were strong and which congregations were having problems, because in this day and age, almost every church is having issues with attendance and remaining significant in society. And so he wrote a book in 2007 called Vital Signs. And for the word of encouragement, I thought I would talk about some of the findings that he had in his book and how we might want to relate some of those to our discussion of vision in Ottawa. So he starts out by talking about the subject vital signs is based on when you go to a doctor, they have different tests that they're able to do to assess your health, whether it's you're taking your temperature or blood pressure, different vital signs that a doctor can do to help assess that. With the church, we don't necessarily have the same kind of diagnostic tools that gives us an idea of exactly where the issues might be. And so it talks in the bottom half of the first page about some of the interesting things that he was able to find in his research, some of the fruitfulness of some of the practices, but he talks about problems as well, interestingly. And on the second half of the first page, he talks about perhaps one of the most serious problems in any congregation is what he calls toxic people. And he says every once in a while, there can be one or more people in a congregation that are just what he uses, toxic influencers, where they influence so many others in the congregation in a negative way. And he says that it often contributes a critical difference between unstable and stable congregations. So just the presence of one or two people can differentiate between what's going to be a stable, thriving congregation and what's going to be a problem. And so he talks about the nature of these toxic influencers that is a problem. And he says that the problems involve that they poison people's minds against new ideas and changes, especially in worship services, innovations, new things that we might want to be trying, and new people in leadership. Toxic influencers, he explains, have incredible power to undermine the authority of leaders and working groups. And they often hold the church hostage through the threat of leaving or withholding money. And he says, most remarkably, they're allowed to function this way, often for years, and their behavior is never exposed to the light of day. But he goes on and says, in vital congregations, in growing, thriving congregations, they simply refuse to allow such behavior to continue. And so one of the points that this author has written is we need to be on the lookout for that in ourselves. And that's the way he applied it. He says, am I a toxic person? Because there's kind of two types of pointing out when there's problems in a church. One is in a constructive way, and the other is in a toxic way that pulls down and destroys. And so the term that he uses for a positive person, a positive way of bringing change to the church, he talks about holy discontent. He says that's good, but a toxic influencer is not good. And so that's something that every church needs to be on the lookout for. Going on to the second page, he talks about the two qualities that he wants to measure especially in a church. So one is whether they're a growing church or not. That's one important factor. And the next factor he wants to consider is the stability of a church. And so he comes up with a total of four different types of churches based on those two factors, growth and stability. And if you turn over to something like page 4, maybe page 5, there's a little chart at the top of this page that shows the four different types of churches and those two factors, growth and stability. And that's where he names the different types of churches. So a congregation that is growing and is stable is in the top right corner, and he calls that a vital congregation. And of all the 700 congregations he looked at in his denomination, only 10% were growing and stable. And so having a vital church is a fairly rare thing. The other quality that he looked at, the church type, the congregation type just below that, is a stable church, but they just don't happen to be growing. And he calls those churches to be rebuilding. And about 7% of the churches he considers in that category. And he says that that's, you know, it's not a bad place to be, because almost every vital church has had to go through times when they're rebuilding. And so growth isn't always happening, but hopefully the stability is always going to be there. The other two types of congregations are the more problematic ones. The church that is growing but is not stable is not a healthy church. And again, about 33%, one-third of all the churches in his denomination were in that category, where they were growing, but they just weren't stable. And so the stability has to do with, you know, their mission, to be able to preach the gospel or to have an outreach to people. They weren't effective with that. And the worst type of church, of course, is the one that's not growing and it's not stable. And he calls those decaying churches. And 50% of all the churches in his denomination fell into that category. They're not growing and they're not stable. So to go back now to on page number 2, we've covered the four different types of congregations and the two criteria that he's looking at. He's looking at church growth and the stability of the church. And it turns out that he looked at about 15 different factors in a church to make up his decision about how to score a church. And so ahead of our look at our vision, I thought it would be a good idea for us to look at what are some factors that he looked at to see if a church is healthy or not. So the first thing that he looked at was core values. And it says, perhaps the single greatest challenge to vitality is what it requires us to be Christian. Too often we confuse being Christian with being nice. It involves much more than that, he reminds us, more than just believing Jesus is the Son of God. So the mission of our church is more than just, you know, a belief that we might have or just being nice people. To be really effective, we have to have our mind in the mission of the church and be working towards that also. In the next paragraph, he says, most Christians claim to value mercy, acceptance, justice, generosity, and compassion. Yet our behaviors show that our real values are comfort, security, and preservation of the familiar. So sometimes people don't want things to change. I like my little group. It's stable and it's a friendly group, and I really, really like that. I don't want necessarily a lot of change happening, and that could be a problem. So the idea of core values is the first thing that he raises. And interestingly, the other handout that I provided talks about some of the core values that... It's actually on the last two pages. It talks about core values. And again, if you were at the feast this year, I imagine they had the banners up where the speaker was that lists, here's what our vision is, here's what our core values are. And to remind you all, the core values that have been identified for the Church of God International Canada is the three C's: caring, courtesy, and consideration. So when we're talking about core values, he's talking about how that's really important to understand, you know, what it is, what's the core thing that motivates us to come out and to be here? What kinds of things are at the real base of us as a congregation? And so Canada-wide, for the last many years now, our core values have remained the same, the three C's, caring, courtesy, and consideration. And when I was preparing this, I was thinking about, you know, in the past, I've spent a lot of time, you know, working on little diagrams and making sure the diagrams are together on handouts, but I haven't necessarily spent a lot of time with those words and kind of what they mean and to try to evaluate, you know, in Ottawa, is one of our core values caring? Is it courtesy, consideration? And again, with my sore knees that I've had for so many weeks now, the idea of caring as being a core value, I see that very much in the nice cards that people were able to send me and the nice comments that people made in the cards. It was an example of caring. As part of the local church council, you know, we've talked about changing facilities here from Beacon Hill to a place where we don't have as long a walk in the from the parking lot. And as part of that local church council, I always stayed quiet about it, but I'm thinking, that's not that far of a walk. I mean, why are they thinking about changing the building just because of that little walk there? And that's where I learned a little more empathy. Once you have knees that ache every time you take a step, I learned to appreciate that is a significant walk. And again, in the wintertime when it's going to be slippery, it'd be misery. So the idea of consideration or caring is something that some of the people of the local church council brought to my attention in the way that they were thinking about the brethren. How can we make the church experience better? Well, we can take away that walk where it's, I think it's about 5,000 steps, if I counted right today. And each one of those steps hurt. And so I learned the idea of empathy. A caring church is one that has consideration for others. And I have some definitions of caring and courtesy listed below, but consideration is the one that I thought I'd point out here, where it points out that we put ourselves in the shoes of others and act accordingly. And they use Hebrews as the scripture for that. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And so when I think of the Ottawa congregation, and as we're starting to, you know, look into our vision, what things do we want to focus on for the coming year as a congregation? The idea of these three C's, the core values to the church, caring, courtesy, and consideration, are something that we might want to give some thought to. Because, again, with this other handout, this is the vision statement for the Ottawa Church, and it's something that is currently 2 pages long, which it's pretty long to be focused on 2 pages of things, and so we might want to take out a pen and start striking some of these out so that we can provide some focus on some things that we really, really want to work on. So we've talked about core values. That was one of the things that he looked at. The next one he talks about is dealing with conflict. And again, he found that in some of the churches that really had problems, there was no way, they didn't have any organized method of dealing with conflict. So if there was a problem, you know, people would just not talk about it, or they'd fight about it. They just didn't have an organized way of dealing with problems, and that's something that is important in a congregation, to have a process in place. The next point he talks about is dealing with change. So there's always change happening in this world, and again, we're going to be changing which building we meet in. So it's an example of a change that's happening. And he talks about how congregations rarely evaluate their programs or their changes to see if they're, you know, having a positive effect. He talks about pastors and talks about how full-time pastors in these churches that are not growing, that are especially the ones that are what he calls decaying churches, that the pastors there are often working many more hours to try to, you know, turn things around, and it results in burnout. And so, again, another point to consider is the role of pastors in the church. He talks about organization, healthy congregations, organize around priorities. So what priorities do we have in Ottawa? What things do we consider most important? If we use Toronto as an example, they have different ministries that they've set up, a men's ministry and a family ministry and evangelism ministry. And so those identify some focuses they have, and then they can put resources to those. Education is one that he spends a lot of time with, and he talks about how vital churches have, you know, different education programs in place, either for the children, even for new members, to make sure that they get a good introduction to what the teachings of the church are. And he talks about how, in addition to just Bible study type education, that they're also learning about Christian history and theology and writing of different Christian thinkers. And so educating yourself, being aware of what's going on out there, is something that's important, and as a congregation is something that we could choose to put some focus on. The idea of comprehensive lifelong learning plans. The next item he talks about is sense of identity and purpose. For most people in decaying congregations, the church is mainly a place to go for worship or to be with friends. Its purpose is to give them comfort and support and to serve their needs. And he talks about how we want our congregations to be more than that. The focus of the church, again, it could be inward or it could be outward in evangelism, and so he brings up some points about that. The next one I wanted to cover a little bit was the idea of vision, because he makes an interesting, bold statement when he covers vision, where he says, decaying congregations spend time developing vision statements or corporate mission statements. So again, that's what we're doing. We're spending time doing a vision statement and our mission statement. But he goes on and he says, they may put it on a bulletin board, but few members can say what they are. In a vital congregation, vision emerges through the corporate discernment. Members share their deepest desires, their core values and beliefs, and they seek fruitful ways to put their gifts to work. Back when George Ramachan became the evangelism leader for the church in Canada, he had us go through a list of things, and what we found in Ottawa was the idea of gifts. The members in Ottawa thought that we didn't really understand gifts and we weren't using our gifts appropriately. And so we spent, you know, more than a year covering gifts, for example, as something that we can bring to benefit all in the church. And the next item he lists is recognizing results. So how do we evaluate as a congregation if we're effective or not? And he has a couple of ideas here. He says, how are lives changed by our worship services? How are attitudes and actions changed by our Bible studies? How do members think and behave differently after being part of our church? Vital churches can answer these questions. Decaying churches can't. So again, what I wanted to cover with the last part, as we're looking at vision in Ottawa, is just what the ministry has provided us in Canada in discussing what the vision corporately for the Church of God in Canada is. So again, we know that the mission is from Matthew 28, where it says it's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And I list the scripture there, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And the other part of that mission is from John 21:17, where it says, where Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. So the idea of preach the gospel and feed the flock are standard Church of God understanding of what our mission is, both outward to the world and inward to the church. The vision listed by CGI Canada, the ministry, is in pursuit of excellence, and they use a couple of scriptures to talk about what they're getting at there. Deuteronomy 4:6 says, "Therefore be careful to observe them, the statutes and judgments, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" And again, because we have God's word, when we present that out to the community, they're going to say, hopefully, what was said here in Deuteronomy. When the wisdom, when our wisdom and understanding from Scripture is shown in the sight of the peoples who hear these statutes and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." And Matthew 5:4, it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." The other part of our vision, so again, the vision is what we're looking out, outward towards, is that our community is the safest place. So one of the things that we strive to do in CGI Canada is to make it so our congregations are not a war zone. It's not going to be a bunch of fighting over doctrine and a bunch of arguing before and after services. It's a safe place that people can come in and worship with people of a like mind, and it's going to be done in a civil way and in a way that is uplifting. It's not going to be a threatening place where you're going to be challenged or attacked. The scripture that they use for our community is the safest place is Psalm 122, which reads, "A song of ascents of David." So I guess he's ascending upstairs as each of the verses are going. He says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Eternal. For the thrones are set there for judgment." So giving thanks is important. Judgment is important. "The thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray they may prosper who love you. Peace be in your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, 'Peace be within you.' Because the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." So those are the vision statements, the mission statements that are given to us from headquarters. And we, as a group in Ottawa, need to turn some of those things into local actions that we want to do as a group. Because not all churches do the same things. To talk about a couple examples how different groups might do different things. In Toronto, I know at one point they had the idea of putting on a music program, so a hymn singing and a bit of a variety show. And they advertised that by putting leaflets all around the church. So a couple of blocks around the church building, they put leaflets in their mailboxes. So the idea there was to have an outreach, not to the entire city of Toronto necessarily, but to the little group of people that would be around their building, because these are people that might decide, to continue again if they came and were warmed by the fellowship and by the music. So that's an example of something that that particular congregation chose to do. They have gifted singers, and they were able to do something like that. As we move from here to our new location, there's not necessarily a group of people that's that close by for us to be able to do that kind of a program. The other thing that's a bit of a challenge for us here is if we're trying to encourage people from the neighborhood, we have this giant Catholic church that's right beside us. And so if you're going to go to a music program or whatever the program might be, some might be more interested in going to see what they would offer than what we might offer. Another example of something that was done on a local basis. I know Bronson James, for years was involved with the Armor of God program, and he was one of the headquarters ministers. And he often talked about, you know, the church needs to do this and the church needs to do that. And eventually he got to the point where he said, I need to stop just preaching about it and actually doing it. And so he kind of stepped down from some of his roles in Tyler, and he moved to Detroit. And one of the first things he did was he found a field that he thought this would be a great place to build a church, and there was a little community around it. And so he anointed that field, and it was his prayer that that they would one day be able to build a church there. And his idea was, again, not to be working with the entire city of Detroit, but to be working just within that neighborhood and, you know, start doing things like providing clothing, providing, you know, food bank, things like that, where, you know, before you start preaching to people and expecting them to answer back, you first win them over by showing, you know, the good works that you're able to do and that you do care for what their concerns are and what their problems are in a local community. So that was, again, another example of how a local church group could, you know, deal with a mission or a vision that they wanted to do. So as we look at the graphic, it shows what the vision statement is here, what the core values are there, and again, with each of the core values, it has a scripture listed as well. So for caring, it lists 1 Peter 3, where it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. So the idea of caring for each other. James 3:9 says, and again, this is for courtesy, with it, the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it, the tongue, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So courtesy, we want to practice self-control and speak with kindness. And again, I've covered consideration from Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So I finish off with some definitions. You can kind of go through those. But the important thing I want to leave you with is the idea that in Ottawa, as a congregation, we want to edit this two-page document to focus in on what we think we are best able to do. So, for example, if we look at you know, some of the things we're doing for outreach, the last item that's listed there is support a battered women's center with donations of clothing and small household articles and other things that are appropriate. So that's an example of something that was taken on a year or so ago, and it's something that we might choose to continue with, or we might choose to do something else. One of the interesting characteristics of that outreach is we tend to do that anonymously. And so sometimes when you do an outreach, you want it to be in a way that people are aware of what you're doing so that they can respond if they're interested. You know, what church group, you know, was giving us you know, Tim Hortons card so that we can go and have a coffee and relax, and you know, that's a neat idea. I'd like to know more about that church group. Well, they don't really have that opportunity because what we're doing is very anonymous. And maybe, and again, if we use Christ's words, sometimes our giving is meant to be anonymous. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He doesn't want the giving to be done because we want glory. But if we're trying to use it as an outreach to draw people into the church, we have to do it in a way that they understand where the good is coming from. And so I'm not saying that's necessarily a good or bad work that we're doing. I'm just saying every year we have an opportunity to evaluate what we're doing and perhaps come up with either different ways or different ideas. And so the hope is in the next couple of weeks you'll have a chance to look through that at home and perhaps jot down a couple of ideas as to how we might want to change our local vision statement in Ottawa.